Christmas is a very special time for most of us. Christmas is a very special time for most of us. Many of our fondest memories have to do with Christmas and things that we do around Christmas. I live with a woman who loves Christmas, so Christmas is an ongoing thing. In fact, this past week, my grandson talked my wife into putting up a Christmas tree and decorating it. So we have a decorated Christmas tree in our house that we put up this week. And so, and the pictures we showed during the offertory time was from our favorite vacation place that we go two or three times a year. And that hotel celebrates Christmas 365 days a year. It's always decorated for Christmas. And so Christmas is a big deal at my house, and at my wife usually decorates for Christmas. I don't think she's ever started in July before, but she usually starts in October to decorate for Christmas. So Christmas is a big deal. For most of us Christians, Christmas, we celebrate Christmas on two tracks. One of those tracks is almost like everybody else. We have the gifts and the decorations and the shopping and all that kind of stuff, family, all that stuff, the eating. Don't want to leave out the eating. The eating's an important part of our Christmas celebration. And we do it like everybody else. But for Christians, we also have another track, and that is what Christmas is really all about. Christmas is really all about Jesus, right? That's what it's all about. And if we leave that out, then Christmas means nothing. And I say, now I'm saying it twice a year instead of once a year, but I say almost every time we celebrate Christmas, you need to realize that the Christmas celebration is not a Bible celebration. As far as we know from the Bible, from the time Jesus was born to the ending of the writing of the New Testament, about 95 years or more, they never celebrated his birth. The first night they celebrated, after that they never celebrated his birth. So the Christmas celebration is something that man has come up with. It is not a religious holiday. Now, we still say you need to keep Christ in Christmas, you know, but the fact is, I'm not sure Christ has ever been in Christmas the way most people celebrate it. But for Christians, we run on both tracks, the track like the world, the gifts, the food, the fun, the family, all that stuff, and we do that and enjoy that. But we realize that's not the real meaning. The real meaning is, tell me again, Jesus. By the way, December the 25th is the worst possible guess for when it happened. We don't know when it happened, but we are almost positive it did not happen on December the 25th. It's just the worst possible guess. So July the 13th is just as good as December 25th, right? I mean, now most Bible students believe that it probably happened in the fall of the year. But we're almost positive it did not happen on December the 25th, the winter time. Just the shepherd would have not, they would not have been out in their fields with the flock in the winter time. So we're pretty sure December 25th is the wrong date. So celebrating Christmas in the summertime is not wrong, no more wrong than celebrating on the 25th of December. You can celebrate anytime you want to. So what I want to do today is just talk about five things about Jesus. Because Christmas is about Jesus. That's what Christmas is. Christmas is about Jesus. So I want to talk about five things about Jesus that the Bible teaches about him. And the first one is that Jesus is the eternal creator God. Jesus is the eternal creator God. John wrote it this way: in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him. Apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. So when the beginning began, Jesus was already there. Jesus already existed. And the Scripture says he was both with God and was God. I remember when I first started preaching that Jesus was God. I always preached and always thought Jesus was the Son of God, but when I first started preaching that Jesus was God, Almost without exception, people would go at the back door, shake my hand, say, I appreciated the sermon, it was good and all that stuff. And I believed that Jesus was God's son. It always makes sure they were telling me, saying Jesus is God, not good, Lee. You need to say Jesus is God's son. But I believe the Bible teaches Jesus is God. Jesus is God. I believe had you lived in New Testament days and you had saw Jesus, you would have seen God in the flesh. Jesus is God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through Him. All things came into being through Him. And apart from Him, nothing came into being that has come into being. He was a part of the creation. He created everything that exists. Many of you know that I'm a young earth creationist. I believe God created the world about 6,000 years ago. Most Christians do not believe that. Most Christians believe that the world came into being millions of years ago or billions of years ago, whatever they say now. But many of them will make fun of me and say, do you mean to tell me you believe an eternal God just created the world 6,000 years ago? Just 6,000 years? Well, if He's an eternal God, if you put 14 million years or 14 billion years, it still doesn't help on the time limit, does it? Because God is an eternal God. He has always existed. He has always been. So whenever He created it, whenever it happened, it'd been a short period of time compared to His eternity. Right? I don't care what date you put on it, what length of time you put on it. He created the world. The Bible says Jesus was involved in the creation of everything that exists. And I think one of the biggest tragedies today is that we are teaching our young people that God didn't create us. You evolved from some other animal. You just evolved from some other animal. And all you are is an exalted animal. That's it. And I think that's tragic. I think that's so tragic. Because if I just evolved from some other animal, then there's no purpose in life. There's no standard for what I should be doing and what shouldn't be doing. If I believed in evolution, why would I be concerned about if somebody killed somebody or whatever happened, somebody raped somebody? What difference does it make if there's no standard, if there's no God? It's just an animal, so I just need to act like an animal. And then we teach our kids, you're just an animal. And then when our kids act like an animal, we said, why did you do that? They did that because we taught them that's what they are. If we teach them that they were created by God and they have a purpose in life, then that'll make a lot of difference. If they do something wrong, they'll know they did something wrong. Jesus is the eternal creator God. He has always existed. He always will exist. He existed before He was born in Bethlehem. He always will exist. Jesus is the eternal creator God. Jesus is the Messiah that the Old Testament talked about. Jesus is the Messiah that the Old Testament talked about. When Jesus asked His disciples, who did the people say He was? They said, such and such and such and such. And then He said, who do you think I am? Simon Peter answered, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, the Jews had been waiting for Messiah for hundreds of years. They'd been expecting the Messiah to come. And I want you to try to put yourself in the position of Peter and the other apostles. And here they were with Jesus, an ordinary looking man. The Bible says he didn't look different. He was just an ordinary looking man. There was nothing special about his appearance as a man. And they'd been spending some time with him. They'd been looking as a Jew. There are a lot of faults you can find with the Jews, with the New Testament Jews, the Old Testament Jews as well. A lot of faults. They drifted away from God, and they did all kinds of things wrong. But two things you can say about them that's good. They believed the Old Testament Scriptures, and they were expecting Messiah to come. And they'd been expecting Messiah to come for years and years and years. I mean, it'd come down from granddad and dad and to child, and everybody was expecting Messiah to come. Everybody was expecting Messiah to come. Here was Peter in the Promised Land with a man that looked normal, and Peter said to him, you are that Messiah. You are that Messiah. You're the Messiah that we've been expecting and looking for years and years and years. My whole life I've been taught that you were coming. You're it. I don't think Peter had a full understanding of who he was, but that's what Peter said. Peter said, you are the Christ. The New Testament word is Christ. The Old Testament word is Messiah. Both of them means anointed one. And so Peter was saying, you are the one that we've been expecting. You've been the one that the whole Old Testament talks about and predicts and prophesies. You are that one. Peter answered, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. So Jesus is the eternal creator God. Jesus is the Messiah that the Old Testament predicted. Then Jesus died for our sins and was resurrected. Jesus died for our sins and was resurrected. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 and 4 says, for I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins. Christ died for our sins. That is the central fact of all of Christianity. That's the reason we celebrate with the communion service. That's the reason that the cross is a symbol of Christianity. That's the central fact of all of Christianity. Central, Jesus is central to everything. He's central to time. He's central to our life. He's central to everything. And his death on the cross is central to that. Everything we exist, everything about Christianity hinges on the fact that Jesus died for us. Many times people accuse us. You people at church think you're better than everybody else. They totally misunderstand. They totally misunderstand. Those of us who had church believe that we are sinners and in need of a Savior. That's the reason we're here. We don't think we're better than everybody else. We know we're sinners. And the only hope we have is the death of Jesus Christ, that he died for us. He died for our sins. He took the punishment that we deserved. He paid the price that we owed. Let me try to, any human illustration falls short of that tremendous transaction, but let me try to give an illustration. Suppose I owed a local store owner. I done bought some stuff on credit and I owed him $1,000. And let's just pretend in our illustration I didn't have the $1,000. Well, you don't have to pretend. That's the truth. That's easy. You don't have to pretend on that one. That's not make-believe. But I didn't have the money to pay him. I owed him $1,000. But I had an old vehicle. And I took my little Mitsubishi truck down there. And I said, tell you what, I don't have the $1,000, but I'll give you my truck. Will you take my truck in place of the $1,000 I owe you? He decided to take my truck for the $1,000 I owed him. I owed the debt to him. He was willing to take that as a substitute for the money. When Jesus died on the cross, God, who all my sins are against, agreed that he would take that as payment for your sins and my sins. He would take that as the atoning sacrifice, the full payment for my sins, for your sins. For I deliver to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried. He really died. And that he was resurrected on the third day, according to the Scriptures. He came back to life. As I look at the pages of the New Testament, I'm amazed that nearly every sermon in New Testament Scriptures, in the book of Acts, nearly every sermon centered on the resurrection of Jesus. The fact that he came back to life, that he overcame death. He was alive again. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. So Jesus is the eternal creator God. Jesus is the Messiah that the Old Testament predicts. Jesus died for our sins and was resurrected from the dead. Number four is, Jesus is the only way to heaven. Jesus is the only way to heaven. Now, I realize that's not politically correct. I realize that we are seen as very arrogant and narrow and not tolerant when we say that Jesus is the only way of salvation. But you do need to know that it's not us saying it. Who said it? Jesus said it. Jesus said to him, John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through him. That means every other religion in the world is wrong. You say, Lee, what right have you got to say every other religion is wrong? Isn't one religion just as good as another? No. They're not. There's only one way to God, and that way is Jesus. That's it. There's only one way, just one way, and that's Jesus. There's no other way to God. That's what Jesus claimed. And his claim was either right or wrong. He was either telling the truth or he was telling a lie. If he was telling the truth, and I believe with all my heart he was, he is the only way to God. There's no other way. There are a lot of good things in a lot of religions. A lot of good things in a lot of religions. Jesus is the only one who claimed that he was going to come back from the dead, and he did. Jesus is the one who claimed this is the only way. There's no other way. This is the only way. There's no other way. Just Jesus. Jesus is the only way to God. Now, that does not mean that the independent New Testament Christian church is the only way to God. That does not mean that I have all the answers and all the knowledge. That's not what that means. But that does mean that Jesus is the only way to God. There is no other way. There is no other way. No other person, no other system, no other religion, nothing else offers the way to God except Jesus. That's it. That's the only way. And I realize that when we tell people that, they are turned off by that. They think we are arrogant and intolerant and all that. And I understand that. But the fact is, the truth is the truth. Right? We need to tell it in a loving way. We need to love people into the kingdom. We need to try to understand they were raised with different religions and different beliefs and all that kind of stuff. But we still need to tell them that Jesus is the only way. There's no other way. Jesus is the only way. You say, well, Lee, I love people and I don't want to tell them. Then you don't love them. You're going to just let them go to hell. Because the only way to God is Jesus. That's it. So Jesus is the eternal creator God. Jesus is the Messiah that the Old Testament predicted. Jesus died for our sins and was resurrected. Jesus is the only way to God. And Jesus is coming again. Jesus is coming again. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16 and 17 says, For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air. And so we shall always be with the Lord. What a precious promise. I thought when I preached about the second coming of Jesus, it was a very negative subject, that Jesus was coming back. Man, the longer I live, the more I'm excited about it. It's a positive subject. It's a good thing. Jesus is coming back for the Lord himself. He's not going to send some angels. He's not going to send some other people. The Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And then what's going to happen? The dead in Christ, those Christians who have died before me, are going to be resurrected from the dead. There's going to be a bodily resurrection. There are going to be some empty graves. There are going to be a bodily resurrection. For the dead in Christ will rise first. Then what's going to happen to those of us who are left here when he comes back? We're going to be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And then the precious part. And so we shall always be with the Lord. Jesus is coming again. And that's an exciting thing. I read some stories about old preachers and all that kind of stuff. And I think almost every Christian that felt like that he was coming in their lifetime. And I think that's what God intended for us to do. I think we're supposed to believe he's coming in my lifetime. And wouldn't that be fantastic? I wouldn't have to go through death. I'd just go meet Jesus. Wouldn't that be fantastic? Boy, that'd be great. And I think, I know it's closer than it's ever been. You agree with that? The second coming of Jesus is closer than it's ever been. I don't know how close it is. I don't know when he's coming. In fact, he said when he was on earth, he didn't even know when he was coming. So I don't know when he's coming. But I believe this. He could come today and it'd be okay. Right? He could come today and it'd be okay. And Christians ought to live with the expectancy that he could come today. And that's great. That's fantastic. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we shall always be with the Lord. Christmas is about Jesus. Christmas is about Jesus. The whole Bible, from Genesis 3:15 on, is about Jesus. Jesus is the central thing in all of history. And Jesus needs to be the central thing in your life. As we celebrate Christmas, we do celebrate on two tracks. We do all the fun things that we do. We eat and have parties and all that kind of stuff and have gifts and all that. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that unless it gets out of hand. And sometimes I think it has, but unless it gets out of hand. But for Christians, we got another track. Christmas is about Jesus. That's what Christmas is about. Jesus. And what we share today were just five biblical facts about Jesus. Just five biblical facts. Let's see if we can go over them. Jesus is the eternal creator God. John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him. And apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. So he was the eternal creator God. He was the Messiah that the Old Testament predicted. Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God," in Matthew 16:16. Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And then in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 and 4, we have the teaching that Jesus died for our sins and was resurrected. Paul says, "For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and he was raised, is resurrected from the dead." So Jesus died for our sins and was resurrected. Jesus is the only way to heaven. Jesus is the only way to heaven. Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. And Jesus is coming again. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16 and 17 says, "For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we shall always be with the Lord." Christmas is about Jesus. We're celebrating Christmas in July. Kind of weird, kind of strange, but kind of fun. So we want all of you to stay and participate in our pizza meal. I've never eaten pizza for Christmas, but I eat pizza for Christmas in July, I guess. Everybody over 50 gets to go first, so I hope you'll do that. And we're glad you're here. We're glad you're celebrating Jesus. We celebrate Jesus all the time, right? All the time. And most of the time we talk about his resurrection rather than his birth, but that's all right. Jesus was resurrected from the dead. One day he's coming back. Do you know him? Do you know Jesus? The Bible says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord." He is the way to God. He's the only way. We're going to stand and sing our hymn of invitation. If you've never made a decision to accept Jesus, we invite you to do that today.